Permanent Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this June the 29th on the West Coast, now June the 30th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to welcome those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network and on blogtalkradio.com on the Internet. I need to apologize to a few people. I announced that I was going to be on Melody Hallett's Truth Quest tonight. I actually put the last Tuesday of the month for June, which was supposed to be the last Tuesday of the month of July. So my apologies if anyone tuned in. There was a good guest and a good show there. It's just that it wasn't me. But I will be on that show, Truth Quest, on the 29th of July. And that's for pert near 2 hours, because my show follows directly after that one. So, my apologies if you tuned in and couldn't find me. I was equally disappointed. So, I'm going to go straight into bringing on tonight's guest. I do have a clip that I want to play, but I need to introduce tonight's guest first, because I think we're going to talk about this a little bit. This is totally unrehearsed. He has no idea what I'm even talking about right now, but he will certainly once he hears this. And I think the timing, I need to thank Ken for sending this link to me for this this piece. I'd heard about it, but hadn't really taken the time to listen to it until earlier this evening. Tonight's guest is a health scientist. He's also an herbalist, a historian, so you can remember him by the three H's. He is also, believe it or not, a very good musician, and my good friend Michael Anthony. Michael, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Don. Great to be back. Thank you.
I was alluding to a clip that I wanted to play, and I found the best possible quality available on the Internet of a portion of the Dayton, Ohio Tea Party. And this was featuring the keynote speaker, Dr. Alan Keyes. And there's roughly 9 minutes in this. And I thought, there were so many questions about what's going on and what should people do, and I have certainly been saying this. Drew Raines has been saying this. Truott has been saying it. Dr. Mike Castle, and also Michael Anthony on this show. And the theme will become self-evident as Mr. Keyes speaks. I should say Dr. Keyes, actually. For those of you who are unfamiliar with him, Alan Keyes opposed Barack Obama running for the Illinois State Senate a number of years ago. He was quite an elegant speaker and actually speaking the truth. And I can tell you that how things have transpired and what I recall of having listened to those debates that occurred, Mr. Keyes was the more qualified candidate for that position, as well as the one that the short-legged Mac Daddy's currently holding. I've done much research, as my listening audience and my readers at my website know. And in case you're not familiar with the website, it's directlightproductions.com. And I've done a series of articles called The Three Stooges Go to Washington. Parts 3 through 7B deal with the character you're about to hear about from Dr. Alan Keyes. And I'm going to play that clip and let him do the talking for right now. Michael, I appreciate you standing on the side for about the next 9 minutes.
Sure thing, Don.
All right, here goes.
Year of human history. Are we to be taken in? Have we lost all the common sense
sacrifice Americans through every generation? Or do we still have the sense it takes to recognize that the Declaration says we have to see a design for justice when an elite occupying seats of government power has as its express aim the trampling and destruction of the rights of the people, including their right to govern themselves? I don't see how we could have had any more clear and explicit announcement of this intention than we have had during these months that Barack Obama has been occupying the White House. Starting right away. You know, I'm about to mention the unmentionable issue, so if you don't want to hear about it, stop up your ears. But I was thinking a few minutes ago when we stood up to do honor to our veterans and our serving military people. You know the most important thing that the civilian population has to do for our military people to respond to what has been the extraordinary in human terms history of the integrity with which they have served and respected our institutions of self-government? We need to do them the honor of respecting them ourselves. If we're going to ask people to swear an oath of allegiance to the Constitution, if we're going to ask that they go out and they risk life and limb, that they give it all and give it all up if they have to, for the sake of the preservation of that way of life made possible by the words of our Constitution, then I think we ought to be standing up to demand that those words are respected. If blood was necessary to hold them where they are, then it seems to me that we should insist that they be honored as they are written, and yet we have done nothing wrong. And he said, what are you talking about, Arnold? I'm talking about the simple, clear, plain provision of the Constitution that says that to be eligible to be president, we've got to be a natural born citizen. Wait, let me finish. That'll be a natural born citizen, and we've got to be. I gotta tell you, unlike some folks, I have never, and I can't, because I don't have the facts, said Barack Obama, I don't know if he's eligible. But you know what? Based on the evidence, we've got to stand for the other. And so while we simply stand to honor our veterans, you know the most incredible thing that I have been seeing from a few of our military people, but I think they represent the spirit of it, is the willingness of people like Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lincoln to stand up and with moral courage. You don't expect physical courage from military people. But moral courage is rare in any war. And here we have people standing forward with the moral courage to say, I cannot in good conscience continue to pretend that I have a clean chain of command when a shadow of doubt hangs over the constitutional authority of the commander-in-chief. He takes it seriously. We have laughed about it and joked about it and acted as if it didn't matter. When all the time what they are doing to us is raising it up as an emblem of the fact that the Constitution no longer governs, that its authority no longer determines the outcome, and that the document that has empowered us to have a government of, by, and for the people has already been discarded by the elites of this country. And you notice I didn't say that Democrats or the Obama faction, because I haven't noticed any moral courage from any quarter on the simple need to have an investigation and a serious authoritative determination. And frankly, I don't know how it would turn out, and I don't care because I'll accept it either way. But the fact that they don't even bother to go through the motion shows the utmost contempt for the Constitution and the people of this country. We will only end the contempt when we make it clear that we will not be cowed, we will not be silent, we will not be driven into the corner with ridicule. We will stand forward for the plain, common sense demand that that Constitution be respected, that it be respected on eligibility, that it be respected in legislative procedure, that it be respected in terms of who gets the vote and how, that it be respected in terms of the honor that is to be given to our individual rights, no matter what the challenge the government faces. We are not once again willing to stand firm and boldly and make it clear no pride and no promises and no material well-being will ever substitute for respect for that document for which new generations so many have given. Your lives, your fortunes, and your honor. And we must do the same. So I would think we would want to start the transition to challenge constitutional government. But tell me, if somebody is down in the basement planting sticks of dynamite and they're about to blow up the foundation of your house, and somebody tells you that the most important issue you face is the redecoration of the kitchen, are you going to listen to them? Sometimes I forget that when I say things like, God is the foundation of the right, I'm not making it up. I'm not spinning out into pieces of paper. I'm looking at the historical record. There are issues of declaration principle. Issues that involve this simple challenge. Will we, as a sovereign people, in the use of our sovereignty, respect the understanding of law and justice on the basis of which we claim our sovereignty? Is that hard to understand? You can't use your sovereign authority in a way that demolishes the ground on which it stands. And if the ground on which it stands is that our rights do not come from government, they do not come from the Bill of Rights, they do not come from judges, they do not come from bureaucrats and politicians. We are endowed, all of us, every single one, by our Creator, not by our choice, but by His will. And if that is the true principle on which our freedom stands, then how can you tell me that politicians standing forward to say that we can deny the unalienable right to life of human beings in the womb by not destroying the foundation of the country? And in case you haven't noticed, I said it for many years and told a lot of people, but it was never going to stop there. You knew that, right? Once they got us to the point where we were denying that the unalienable right to life mattered for that child in the womb, then it became later and later. A Roe versus Wade said the first 3 months, and then it became the whole 9 months, and then people started talking about partial birth abortion and the babies coming out. And you know what that's all about? It's about what we've already seen. Once unalienable rights have been denied to any human being whatsoever, then they will arrogate to them the power that they are already taking in this new healthcare legislation to point the finger of death at any one of us they please. And our liberty is no more. Why didn't we see this coming? Why wouldn't we listen? Why wouldn't we stop the destruction of our conscience and our principles before it went this far? That's a question we need to ask, because our actions in the next several months are going to answer it. We must give priority to the issues that are a priority for the salvation of our freedom. Control of our conscience comes first, then control of our money and control of our lives. And we should never stop the battle until we have regained all freedom.
That was Dr. Alan Keyes speaking at the Dayton, Ohio Tea Party this year. And I want to point out, you couldn't see the video, actually, and there's way too much echo and reverberation for my taste and probably yours, but that's the audio that was recorded. Dr. Keyes walked around on the stage as he spoke, had no notes, and certainly didn't have any teleprompters. And that's a man speaking from his heart and his mind following his heart, certainly. Very cogent thinking, directly on the money as far as what's being done to our Constitution. And if that speech didn't get you up off your rear end, I don't know what will. Michael, your thoughts on what Dr. Key said?
Yes, sir, Don, I agree with that. I've always been a fan of Alan Keyes, and I sure wish he was our president right now, rather than this loser usurper that we have. And like you said, Don, Alan Keyes clearly demonstrating wonderful God-given intelligence, talking straight from the heart, doesn't need to have it all written down and read a teleprompter like the fool we have now or the fool we had before him. And the fool we had before that clown.
And before that one.
Amen. It's just a chain of losers that the Rockefellers, or rather the Crockefellers, would always prefer to have. People easy to control and manipulate and compromise. And, of course, they don't have that on Alan, and therefore they will never allow Alan to become president. And they are the root enemy of all. We're just going after the veneer, the branches of an evil tree, the roots themselves, the families that run our Federal Reserve, which is neither federal nor reserve. That's the real enemy. And everybody else are just puppets that they select. And it's really disgusting, Don. It really is. But Alan is always inspiring. And it's sad that I think Alan's a black man. And I think probably, unfortunately, in the black population of our country, I think he's not held in as much high esteem. They probably consider him the ones that just aren't really centered in their being, that just don't understand what this country's about. And they have chips on their shoulder and feel like somebody owes them something. I guess they feel that Alan is not a legitimate black man. Because I guess, I don't know, Don, it's disappointing. Because I don't think he has that much support from the black population. But Alan's, he always seems to be a great guy to me. Always does say the right thing. And he'd be a heck of a lot better president.
Well, he's speaking from a position of self-empowerment, number one, and he is a motivator, but you've got to be able to connect with people, and he connects with the producers.
That's right.
The short-legged Mac Daddy and his gang are connecting with the non-producers. Those that
exactly right, Don.
Leech off the system. Therein lies his unpopularity, yet he is a true black man.
Yes. Yes, he is. He's an excellent American that happens to be black, and he's welcome with me anytime. I'd love to meet him and shake his hand. And very inspiring. You know, I'm looking at photographs right now. Remember when Obama became president? And there was a big deal out there in Illinois, who's going to fill a seat, and the governor Blagojevich, and all the connections trying to sell that seat, and of course that all broke out into the news, and they denied knowing each other. They said they maybe met once, and I'm looking at, which I'm going to send out soon on email.
You've seen the photographs and the videos and that, haven't you?
You got it. Many photographs of different events where these two losers are together talking with other people, of course.
Now, that should be certainly be perjury. He would make, I don't know if they swore him in, but it wouldn't really matter one way or another. They, you know, he committed fraud when they sworn him in. Let me say it again. He committed fraud when they swore him in as president, and they botched the first one and had to make a ritual, a satanic ritual of the second swearing in, which
That's
was
right.
done in secret.
That's right.
I mean, the whole thing about this guy from birth to the present is nothing but fraud.
That's so
and,
true.
And they know this. They know this.
Sure.
And that's what Alan Keyes is saying. The politicians don't have the gall nor the conscience. I like the word he used, conscience. They don't have the conscience to do the right thing, the thing that they're sworn to uphold, the Constitution and their duty to the people, to their constituents. They don't see us as real constituents, do they? At
no,
least by
Don.
Their actions.
No, Don. They don't consider themselves really representing us, the country belonging to us. And they're all compromised, obviously, by the Rockefeller, Schwarzschild, bankster cabal, And that's why they are all in those positions right now, because of that. But no question about it. I mean, this is blatant perjury, fraud. How many photographs does anybody need? No grand jury, no jury at all, no criminal investigation of it all. You know, I was just watching earlier, very briefly, Fox News with Hannity. And it was hilarious and disgusting because you could see the ruse, how they play against each other, and it's just totally fake. For example, one of the guests, a female, complaining how at the Tea Party, now she heard it personally by being at the Tea Party, how, oh yeah, they're such extreme radical Tea Party members that they actually say that Obama is like a Hitler. That's outrageous. That's so disgusting. And Sean Hannity, oh, that's terrible. We don't approve of that. I mean, let's forget that the guy doesn't even prove that he's born here in the United States. Oh, we'll forget that. Let's not even touch that. It's pathetic how the fake news, the snooze, keeps selling the same old crap. And, geez, I hope hardly anybody's watching that anymore because it is so antiquated and literally keeping you in the dark. I mean, Don, oh my God, if it wasn't for shows like yours.
Well, Michael, there, you know, I agree with you wholeheartedly about the mainstream media. They're basically committing the same fraud.
Exactly.
They're aiding and abetting in this fraud.
That's right, Don. They never touch any of this. They just keep going after the same old crap of, well, we should be in the war or we shouldn't be in the war. And, you know, Obama's trying to do this, or is it right that he tries to do that? But nothing about, hey, is this guy legitimate? Or has he committed any kind of perjury and fraud against the American people since he's taken office? Nothing like that. And how dare anybody consider him like a Hitler? Oh, no, not in the United States. We could never, ever have a president like that.
No, Hitler never had a wife who wore a Black Widow dress the night he seized power in Germany. Well,
you know, Don, that woman can never be happy since clearly Obama, maybe he's bisexual, but he's definitely homosexual for sure. And we know that now with the article coming out a few weeks back, especially verifying, of course, Larry Sinclair. It all supports everything Sinclair has said, because him and these guys, Ramen Noodles, Emmanuel, and all these other losers belong to that homosexual fag operation there, the Countryman's Club, I think
they
call it.
This at the Trinity Church in Chicago, too.
Yes, very Christian. Mm-hmm.
So,
yes.
I think it's appropriate. We can lighten this topic just a little bit. The late Frank Zappa, the guitarist, composer, orchestrator, and really music genius in many venues. He was known as a rock guitarist, but his writing transcended much of the most avant-garde of, let's say, orchestral music as well.
Mm-hmm.
He studied with Stockhausen in Germany for a few years. And to give you an idea how what a musician and a conductor and a composer Stockhausen was, his son at age 9 had written a piece for the Cologne Symphony in Germany, and they couldn't play it. It was so difficult.
Wow.
And Zappa studied with him for a number of years, and you could hear the influence that it had on his creativity. He had a great sense of humor.
Oh, yeah.
And the quote I want to use from Frank Zappa is, "Politics is the entertainment branch of government." Yeah.
That's so well said. It really is.
It is, and it's,
I mean,
and it's
when,
true.
But, sure, it
but
is.
They're horrible entertainers.
Yeah, they're lousy actors. Very lousy. They're definitely actors for sure. But you know, C, maybe C budget, not even B. You know, like let's recall when Hillary was interviewed when she was running for president, and at one point in the interview she was crying because she couldn't get over. She was so touched and moved how a girl like Hillary could now be running for president in this great country, and she loves our country so much, and you know, she was crying, Don. It really touched her emotionally in that soul of hers, and you could see it was all fake. Fortunately, because it was videoed, you could see she was an actor, and she couldn't pull it off. It was totally fake tears. Everything was fake, and it's so hilarious. I'd love to see, instead of the Oscars for these losers, we have the some kind of BS awards that we can have annually for the greatest phony actor we have in politics. It's because they are hilarious. If you really look at them just in that perspective, you'll always laugh. And then, as an American, you'll cry knowing that they're taking our country deep into a hole we may never climb out of. But when the camera's on, the curtain's up, they're all actors. But when the cameras are off, the curtains are down, they're in bed together, the Republicans and the Democrats, totally in bed together. And so they're a bunch of phony traitors, crooks, doomed to hell. And let's just hope they don't take our country with them.
Well, the whole concept of what they like to call bipartisan politics, and this insistence that they're not going to allow a third or a fourth party to come forward is just part of a game. You see, their two-sided coin all of a sudden becomes a cube. You see, if you will, and it becomes multidimensional. They prefer that politics is not three-dimensional, that you can't see all aspects of it, that you can't see the truth. And the truth is the part that makes it three-dimensional, you see? Mm-hmm. So it's all an illusion, basically.
Sure. Sure.
Two-dimensional, it's like a line on a piece of paper going in one direction, downward. You see, most people would be thinking left or right. It's going downward. Put an arrow on the end of the line, and it's still two-dimensional.
Moving absolutely down. Sure. We're dealing with people that have no honor, no integrity. You know, in the old days, Don, it was back in the old days, at least, you know, if you had honor and stuff and you broke that honor, you ruined that honor, you ruined the family name, I mean, you fall on the sword out of disgrace because it's just so insulting to the whole family, the embarrassment. Today, that's long gone. Honor is maybe not even a dictionary anymore. And these people totally lack honor and any kind of virtue. They are very pathetic creatures. How they, like a street hooker, just will do anything for that dollar. Say anything you want to hear. But they won't do anything you want them to do, though. That's for sure. The only thing they will continue to do is shaft you while they pretend that they're helping you or our country. But they definitely sold their souls for the money, no question about that, and therefore are doomed to hell. And it's really disgusting, though, to see how they get away with it, and the media covers it up. And anybody watching TV news, oh my gosh, unless you're watching it just for the joke and the laugh, it's amazing, totally amazing how backward it is and just a show. They're all phonies. They're all actors playing their roles to protect the interests of the parties and the cabal that pays them. Nobody talks about the Federal Reserve being the cause of all our problems, the illegal money supply coming from the Federal Reserve. And therefore, you know that they're cowards and they're whores just getting paid to sell us the BS lines they're paid to say.
Yes, and you know, you mentioned the Federal Reserve and its tentacles out in Wall Street. Actually, they set up Wall Street before they brought in the Federal Reserve. All this was by design. Mm-hmm. And we had infiltrators there. You
see, right.
This was all unconstitutional and unlawful how it was conducted. And my research on the Bush, a.k.a. Scherf clan, the McCanns, a.k.a. McCain, then the short-legged Mac Daddy, Obama, a.k.a. Satoru, and I submit more likely Rockefeller.
Sure.
And
absolutely.
And you know, the facts, Michael, are still lining up in my favor. The facts are converging on all that research I did. People are starting to see that this individual, can't call him a man, don't even know where he's from.
That's right. That's right.
But this prerequisite of being a homosexual, being a drug addict, being a liar, a cheat, being involved with the intelligence agencies, being other than, you know, I don't care what a person's faith is, as long as if they're going to profess their faith, be that faith. You know, be who you say you are. It's quite obvious that you have a potential world disaster happening in the Gulf of Mexico, and we don't need to go into that to any great length. It's worse than it was yesterday. We can assume that. Probably much, much worse. And you've got major characters in this whole thing that should be scrambling to save their own skin. Mm-hmm. And one's playing golf and the other one's sailing a yacht.
That's how they work, Don.
Well,
that's
I understand how they, that.
That's how they put their minds together to find a fast solution. Look how effective they are at it.
Yeah, exactly. But Alan Keyes hit the nail right on the head, and he said, you know, our forefathers had a dream. They had a way of envisioning this country moving along, and they knew what the threats to the country were. Those threats were stated in their speeches, in their writings, even within the document, by what they chose to put in the Constitution. And the fact that Alan Keyes said that we should be willing to give our blood for, now the distinction is, for the cause of upholding and restoring the Constitution, not giving it to the military-industrial complex, not giving it to the oil companies and the pharmaceutical companies, and not giving it to their mind-control educational system or their brainwashing religious industry. It's an industry is what it is, organized religion. And it's as corrupt as the rest of it. It's as corrupt as the educational system. Ask any of the teachers that have been laid off. Why is all this money from this rich country all of a sudden disappeared? Well, it's been stolen, and you can't replace it with nothing. You see, they can keep printing the bills, but the bills go out there, and you don't have the assets to back it because they've stolen those. They've privatized publicly funded programs, schools, parks, nature conservancy. One of the things I'm going to be talking about, by the way, in the coming weeks, is this little game they have. A lot of people may be familiar with the name, the Western Land Conservancy. This is a program that Henry Paulson ran before he became the Secretary of the U.S. Treasury. He was running Goldman Sachs, and Goldman Sachs came up with this idea of moving in and taking up public lands, having these lands declared nature preserves, filtering money into metro park systems and the community's background infrastructure. And then they pooled that money just like they did the mortgages, the pass-through accounts that they were doing with international banks, buying up these packages of pooled mortgages and literally foreclosing on people. The corruption in this public sector with this Western Land Conservancy is very interesting. Michael, I tell you, it touches every state in the union and probably many of the smaller communities. And people are saying, oh, yeah, we have to save our planet. Therefore, we're going to give this river territory to the metro parks. Mm-hmm. And all yes, Metro Parks want to talk about at their meetings is the status of their investments. What the heck does that mean? They're supposed to be taking care of the land. No, they're concerned about these pools, you see, these derivatives and hedge funds.
Because they're all corporations, Don.
Yeah, and they're stealing the money from the schools. This is why the schools don't have the money. They budget the number of students and the number of teachers and the facilities and the cost of the books and all the programs that they're going to run on the basis of all the money they know they have available to them through bond issues and levies and any legislation that's passed that diverts possibly. This isn't the case anymore, but it used to be if there was a Ford Motor Company or a GM plant in a particular area, or even a Walmart. They were supposed to pay taxes into the system to the benefit of the community and to the benefit of the schools. And that's not going on. That's not happening at all. They've shipped the companies out of the country, so they don't have to pay the taxes. And then what do? They charge us more money for products that they're producing at a lower cost.
It's all a racket, Don.
It's a racket,
you know?
Isn't it?
I mean, it's unbelievable. They're masters at racketeering, and that's all it always is. Even when these big corporations were paying the taxes, where did it all go? You know, when I worked at IBM in East Fishkill, New York, East Fishkill itself was a very rural, small town. I mean, real small. They got, at the time, $40 million a year from IBM for the property tax. Okay, $40 million. And where did all that go? I mean, the town is so small. Where is all that money going? And so the corruption is so extensive, and that is our whole problem. You know, we just don't have anybody with integrity. And when the few that do arrive that get into politics, they won't last long. They either will get co-opted or they have to step down. They won't get reelected, because they're not playing ball. And it's just that bad. And people turn a blind eye to it. Well, that's, what are you going to do, Mike? That's how it is. All that happy nonsense crap. And
they always say that.
It's outrageous.
Yeah, people always say that. They always say, well, you know, it's always been that way. Well,
that's right.
Why has it no, first of all, it hasn't always been
that's
that
right,
way.
That's right, Don.
Okay? That's
it
the
sure
first
hasn't.
Lie. You know, Frank Zappa, the late Frank Zappa, had it right. Politics is the entertainment branch of government. Now, if you put what they say as lyrics in a song, it's a sad song.
Oh.
But if you try to write music to those lyrics, the cacophony of it, the dissonance, the distortion, would probably destroy your eardrums. So Frank really, you know, he was down on the entertainment industry too. You know, they pushed to make him a pop star. He didn't want to be a pop star. He
right.
just had a message, and he had a very unique individual way of communicating that message, and that was his interest. But his manager, when he was with Warner Brothers Records, Herb Cohen, said, you know, you got 5 more albums or 7 more albums you got to do by the end of your contract. So to get out of his contract with Warner Brothers, he did all 7 albums in 1 year. Just and that started.
That is great.
You know,
that's great.
And he freed himself of that restraint, and he became very diverse in what he did. Now he's not everybody's cup of tea, but certainly anyone that appreciates guitar playing and knows the difficulties of playing certain chords and certain melodic patterns or writing like he did for any instrument. He was a brilliant composer.
Yeah, he was very talented, no question about it. I couldn't relate to him musically except when he got more into a mainstream arrangement where you could really relate to it, and he definitely was incredible.
Yeah.
Great guitar player.
Yeah, he played blues, and he could play jazz and flamenco guitar, and then basically anything, you know. And he had a great sense of humor. Remember
yeah.
that, folks?
Yeah, that's what he was all about, his humor.
Government is the public relations. No, wait a second. I'm reading the wrong one here. Politics is the entertainment branch of government.
It's so perfect. It is.
The other one I was reading there, government is the public relations branch of globalization.
Say that too?
No, he didn't say that. Okay. K. Rubric Schrödinger said it.
When did he say that, Don? What time frame?
I don't have dates for any of these statements, but the fact that these men made these statements says enough.
Absolutely, but with the globalization thing, I mean, if he said that back in the 60s or 70s, I'd be like, wow, that guy, he sure knew what he was talking about, because, I mean, globalization was really not conceived as far as the American people's awareness of what our government's steering our country towards until, you know, the 80s, late 80s for sure. And even then, many, many Americans were like, huh? What do you mean, Mike, global? And then the 90s, when it became even more obvious, still many Americans just couldn't see it. And so that was very, very insightful of that gentleman.
Well,
that's what it's all about.
Yeah, there's a certain level of consciousness that allows somebody to perceive what everybody takes for granted. Here you have, why did I bring up this Frank Zappa thing? Because everybody is in fear, and he literally describes politics quite accurately. Okay, I'm not trying to beat a dead horse here. What I'm saying is that in that simple statement, really, what else can you say it is? All they do is talk. They parade in front of us. They have mm-hmm. all this decorum.
Tell you what you want to hear. They tell you what you want to hear.
They're not telling me what I want to hear.
Oh, but they usually tell you what you want to hear during the campaigning, Don. The Republican contenders tell the Republican constituents basically what they want to hear.
Well,
the Democratic contenders basically tell their constituents what they want to hear. But whoever gets elected, once they get in, it's the same old agenda. Nothing's changed.
Mike, but in reality, what they're telling people is what they want people to hear, you see? But they tell you, well, this
no,
is...
No, 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 Don. No, they tell you what you want to hear. Now, Obama told everybody in the Democratic Party, if I was president, I mean, I'll make sure people keep their homes. And the war's over. We're not going anywhere. We're not going in Afghanistan. And how many other BS lies? They all do it, Don. They tell you what you want to hear. And that's why they lined up the fools to vote for Obama, thinking that this guy was really going to do something for them.
You're saying they tell the average person, and I understand that. The point I'm making, and you're...
The party members.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the party, you see, but that's not the reality. Remember, politics is the entertainment branch.
That's right. I'm just saying they tell you what you want to hear when it's campaigning time, when the show is on. But once the campaign's over, it's business as usual, working for the globalists, serving their agenda. They consolidate what the previous administration had accomplished, and then they push and advance further what the previous administration could not accomplish.
Well,
and so we go back and forth from one party to the next as they continue to advance us further into the entanglements of the United Nations global system, because that's all it comes down to.
Yeah, yeah, I understand that. Now,
of course you do.
Let's go back to Dr. Keyes, okay? There's a certain, he spoke about conscience, okay? Conscience, in other words, taking responsibility for what you do, really results...
Having a conscience, Don, relates to a soul. You have to have a soul if you have conscience.
Yeah. Now, so Dr. Keyes is saying, look, you know, why were they talking about abortion before this election? Why? And I've made that comment on many a show. I've talked about the fact that they are every 4 years, they bring up, well, what's your position on Roe versus Wade? Did you hear anything about Roe versus Wade? You know, have they done anything? You know,
same old.
It doesn't even mean anything. What is Roe versus Wade? You know,
same old script.
Most people don't even know. Yeah, it's the same thing over and over. But he brought out a very good point. As soon as they say whether or not abortion is legal or illegal, in either case, when they're dictating to you what your position is to be, according to a law that they want to script. And remember, those that are making the laws are the politicians. They are the entertainers. Okay? They're entertainers.
Actually, Don, the politicians are the entertainers. Those making the laws are the lawyers behind the scenes. And then they give it to the politicians like it's their baby. Here, promote this bill as yours on the floor.
But then it's secret societies and foundations and think tanks and
the lawyers work. That's right.
Yeah,
the lawyers that work for those behind the scenes secret society think tanks, for Council of Foreign Relations, all the Rockefeller sloth child crap. And then the politicians, the actors, they act like that was my idea. That was my bill. Oh yeah, I'm all for that. It's hilarious. Yes.
But he said, Alan Keyes, again, said, you have to have that spirit of, you know, being willing to die for a cause.
That's right.
For a cause, to give your blood to that cause, not to this system that they've created. That's the way it's been. That's
sure.
What everyone says, well, we hear the truth now. We know what the problems are. What do we do? What do we do? And we've been harping on that, haven't we?
Absolutely, Don. There's so much we can do. At the individual level, we've covered it so many times. And to me, there's only one way to live life, and that is properly, virtuously, so that our soul, our integrity is intact. When you sleep at night, your conscience is at peace because you're at peace. You don't owe anybody anything. You haven't done anybody any wrong. You feel healthy. You're powerful. And that's what it's all about, living virtuously. And if we were to live that way, they'd have no control over us at all. And as a country, what we simply need to do is go back to the Constitution the way it was. You know, we're coming up on the 4th of July, and it's just as great of a holiday as Memorial Day weekend to me because of all the vets and all the men and women that did sacrifice and fight for our country and the Constitution and all the freedoms that God has given us as Americans. And, you know, the Founding Fathers, when they established our government, there was no pay. Congressmen and senators did not get paid. That's why things were so much better in those days. And that's why things are so bad now, because these dirtbags are getting rich, and they're not getting rich off us because they're only making on the average 150, maybe 200 grand a year, which is way too much. But they're retiring as millionaires. How? Well, obviously, they're whores for somebody else, and they're getting paid
under the table.
Thank you, Don. Exactly. In their accounts. The numbers or the digits are building up in their accounts under the table secretly, and it's all kept quiet. It's a good old club. We got to take that money out. You want to represent us? There's no pay. You get the business done and you get home fast because you got to get to work. That's how the Founding Fathers did it. They didn't go to the Capitol, the nation's capital, to party and stay there all year long and go whoring around. No. It was get the business done and get back home because they had a business to run. They had to get to work. They had a farm to take care of, whatever it was, their enterprises. They had to make a living to support themselves and their family. They didn't do it as a representative of our government. And that's what we want. We don't want politicians. We want representatives of our government.
Yeah. Well, this thing about... Again, going back to Alan Keyes' speech here, and I just, you know, I want to wrap this up, but to point out that there's a man speaking from his heart, and we've been saying, you know, that the answers come from God when you operate through the heart.
Yes, sir.
this man didn't lie. He spoke very eloquently, very passionately, without the props, without the crutches that others have to speak. And when they're asked a direct question, publicly, like occurred during the campaign, when they had these town hall meetings that they were stacking the audience with what they thought were 100% supporters, and they got a question like, do you belong to the Council on Foreign Relations? And he danced around that question and quipped something about he wasn't aware if he had a card or not, or, you know, something stupid like that. You see, there's someone that can't think on their own feet because they're not dealing at all with any kind of reality or any kind of experience. To listen to Alan Key speak there for 9 minutes, he said more in that 9 minutes than this clown's said in the last 9 years.
And the clown before him, absolutely. It's refreshing when we meet men and women of intelligence that have clearly control over their thoughts and intentions, where these buffoons, right, Don, when they get stumped, if it's not on script and somebody stumps them with something, well, you know, like, geez, we didn't, I wasn't expecting that question. I'm stuck now. I don't know what the answer is. Obviously, we're dealing with airheads. Obviously, they're just mere puppets and somebody else is pulling their strings.
Mm-hmm. Now, Michael, I want to make something real clear, you know, for you and for the listening audience. I love my country just like anyone else loves their country. If they have some reason to love it, and hopefully it's because of the people and the way of life and the history, the real history.
That's right.
Not the fictional history. I'm a lover of truth, and I certainly respect the office of the presidency, but I don't respect a criminal sitting in that office. And let's not beat around the bush.
That's right, Don.
No pun intended.
yes, Don, I'm glad you said that, because
I'm
sorry, go ahead.
Well, no, I said, you're glad I said no pun intended, or?
No, that you just stated the fact that, you see, a couple months back, Frank Whalen, I was listening to him, and he was saying how when people come at you saying, you know, you hate your government, don't you, because everything I'm hearing, you hate your government. And I called him up, I said, Frank, this is what you tell people like that. I love my government. I love my country. It's the best government in the world. I hate the dirtbags in our government that do not represent us, that have broken their oaths to uphold the Constitution. Oaths. You're usually taken out and hung when you break an oath to your Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
It's treason. And yet they get away with it all. That's what I hate. I hate what they've done to the greatest government ever designed on paper, the greatest country that God has been able to establish. I hate what these dirtbag traitors have done. That's what I hate. I love my government country more than anything.
Well,
so I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, it's interesting, Michael, because it always comes back to this focal point of who's pulling the strings. You know, who's the real puppet master? And I was doing some research today, and I came across the writings of or the sayings, an interview of Credo Mutwa, who is a black man from South Africa, who is a shaman,
right,
and a healer and an intuitive in helping people solve problems, and he's describing the things that are going on in various countries in Africa, the intent to eradicate the black race off the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And here we have a situation where they're trying their best to foment a race war in this country on the basis of this usurper that we have being African American. And as many have said, you're either American or you're African.
That's right.
There's no mincing this. You see, You can look back at the 60s, the things that they were saying, and, you know, it used to be like you weren't cool if you didn't have an afro, and everybody grew out their afros, and you even had white people growing afros. And then the hairstyles got shorter, and they got shorter, and they got shorter. Now you're not cool unless your head's shaved, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they're still saying African-American, African-American, African-American. That is not an American.
That's correct.
Okay? If it's to describe somebody's ethnicity, you can be from Africa, and you can be Egyptian. You can be from Africa, and you can be a Zulu. So those aren't the same things. So these terms mean nothing, okay? Africa is a continent. It's not a nation.
The United States
is part of North America, which is a continent. It's part of the Western Hemisphere. It is not a continent. It is a nation. It is a group of people. And just as in South Africa, Credo Mutwa's people are South Africans. There are Dutch, there are native Africans there, or South Africans there, and people that have migrated there from other countries. He was talking about the AIDS epidemic and the intention to wipe out people. And from what he knows, and this is not a shallow thinker to hear this man speak. He's very wise, very intelligent. And he's saying the same things Alan Keyes was saying, in essence, of what is being done to destroy nations around the world. And the governments are the tool that they use to do that. And to
Absolutely.
Subjugate mankind, which is the intentional squashing of a natural process of expansion of consciousness.
I wouldn't say that it's the government so much. It's the people that get installed into those governments to serve the bidding of the global masters.
Well, yeah, but there's not a government on the planet right now.
That's not corrupted by them.
So,
yeah, that's not corrupted by them. Absolutely. Yeah. Because those that wouldn't be corrupt.
Be that way, but
no, of course not, Don. Of course not. And there really isn't any independence anywhere because this banking cartel of financiers that manage to, through their evil practices and greedy, selfish nature and their satanic practices, they've managed to gain control over all material power on the planet. And that's through the money system. And so they are, unfortunately, the real controllers and the source of all evil on the planet. That's why when we go after everything else that they've created, we're going after branches. We can keep cutting branches off an evil tree, but the tree won't die unless you rip it out by the roots. And these bastards are those roots. And
those
obviously,
roots are evil.
Absolutely. Pure evil. Pure evil. I mean, Rockefeller, old man J.D. Rockefeller, who's roasting in hell right now, his old motto was, competition is a sin. Hello, we're the United States. We're supposed to have competition. That's what makes everything go. That's what keeps producers very sharp and prolific.
He doesn't compete with his banks and all his businesses. He doesn't compete with anybody.
That's right.
In other words, competition is a sin. Therefore, that justifies having a monopoly over everything.
Yeah, and rubbing out any kind of form of competition.
Yeah.
Try to buy him out. If you can't buy him out, well, you got to rub him out.
Yeah.
This is what we're dealing with.
Yes. Yes, I agree wholeheartedly.
This is how bad it is. And I just wish our military and those that have access to material power that will use it properly and realize, first of all, they're being all abused and used for this global crap. And let's get our act together and go after the real enemy here once and for all. Let's become vampire hunters and go after these bastards and drive a stake through their heart, chop their heads off, toss it out in the sun, make sure they never have a chance to take root again. Seize all their property holdings, give it back to the appropriate countries, back to the appropriate people of those countries, and let's get it over with. And then their puppets will fall apart. We'll pick them off easily.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Michael, people are becoming aware of the chaos that's around them. You can't not notice it. There are people who are oblivious to it in their own way, bless their souls. But there are people waking up, and the first thing that they experience when they wake up, it's sort of like they're living in a nightmare, and so they become very fearful.
Of course.
And the reason we're talking about these things is they're, I think we're being very matter-of-fact here, too. That will try to debunk what we're saying, but they do that all day on the mainstream media anyway, you see.
Yeah, they don't, they pretend they're debunking, Don, but of course if they really were to debunk it, they'd find out we're telling the truth.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they know certainly.
Sure.
What we talk about, they listen to this show. They listen to all the other shows like this. They read the research. They snoop into our email and eavesdrop on our telephone conversations, and they spy on us. Is that the act of courageous people doing good for the world?
Or our country? Obviously not.
Well, I say for the world because their intentions are to control the whole world.
Oh, I'm with you, Don, all the way. I'm with you all the way. I just first think as far as, you know, our country first and what they're doing to us and what we have to do to them to save this country, and then we can help save the world.
Mm-hmm.
We have to seize these bastards, and there's no mincing words here. Time is short. We're either going to be sucked into this global crap once and for all, and the sovereignty of the United States and everything about it will be a memory. You know, I was also looking at some email where there's a town in California called Maywood, and they fly a Mexican flag in the town, not a U.S. flag. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is where we're at. They've divided us up. I mean, I just heard Slick Willie, Commie Clinton, oh, depends on what the definition of is that genius that everybody used to claim was so smart of a man. And when I hear him talking about diversity, well, you know, they just don't like the diversity, you know, that, you know, our country's become so diverse. Diversity means to divide people. That means division. That's how they conquer, through diversity. Divide, divide, divide. We have to break away from that crap. Let's get our act together. We're Americans. Let's act like Americans. Let's understand the history of this country. There's only one type of people that I want to see as an American in my country that I want to focus on. That's the original Native Americans that have nothing, that have been shafted and screwed over and over again. And they're living in less than a third world state. They have literally nothing. And yet there's nothing being done to help them, those people, the original Americans, because I'm a Native American, Don, you're a Native, we're all born here, so we're Natives now too. And as a Native, I want to help those original Natives. And I don't want to spend my money in foreign countries. I want to get my backyard straightened out. I want my home and organized and proper in the eyes of God and just. And then we'll show our neighbor countries around the world how to do it the way we did it. There's no other way to make it happen. And so we have to realize that it's through this divisions of diversity that they're tearing our country apart. And eventually it's not going to be much longer if we don't get it together. California, you can pretty much write it off unless something is done drastically. California is now northern Mexico, and they're trying to make a lot of the Southwest. The other states that way, too. Now, Arizona has flexed some muscle, some initiative. And again, look at the traitors in our government with the quack insane Obama trying to sue the governor. Why? Because she wants to uphold the law that you're not? You traitor dirtbag? Your time's coming.
Yeah, you know, it's all a dog and pony show in Washington. You know, this pretension that they're going to look into the Federal Reserve and audit the books. Or,
that's right.
I mean, they don't want that to happen. Certainly the Federal Reserve doesn't want that to happen.
Never
and
will.
We've been giving out the numbers on this show for the past 3 years. And now they're throwing out trillions like it's nothing. You know, this is going to cost $1 trillion. This is going to cost $15 trillion over 8 years. Or, you know, they just come up with these numbers and they just throw them out there. And it was only a few months ago, Michael, I was still talking about trillions. And they probably said, well, Nikoloff is still talking about trillions. We might as well start talking about them, too. That way people don't question what he's saying. But the thing is, folks, that if you had 31,710 years to count up to a trillion, that's how long it takes.
That's right. I mean, you can stack it to the moon and back.
You would understand how much money that is, or to see 67 miles worth of bills stacked on each other. Okay? That's $1 trillion. That's how much that is in physicality and in time, which are both illusions. This is the whole point we're trying to make, is that they focus everything on money. They say, well, this costs money, therefore you have to give us money. And you get the money by working. So you're working for them. You're working for the criminal cabal. You're working for organized crime. You're not working for government, because that they're not abiding by the Constitution. And they're not abiding by the very laws that they expect us to adhere to.
Neither, and they're not giving us lawful money, which is debt-free. And that's why we're working for them. Because as long as we're using their debt-based note backed by nothing, then we're constantly in their system working for them, the parasites that they are. The producers will never be able to enjoy the fruits of their labor, because the non-producers will constantly siphon it right out of them.
Until the producers wake up and take notice and say something and do something about it.
Amen.
And that's what these men have said. By the way, Credo Mutwa is a black man. Dr. Alan Keyes is a black man. They are real black men. They are genuine black men. And I'm not saying that to slight people who are of mixed races, but say who you are.
I just say they're just excellent men, fine individuals that happen to be black.
Yes. And then we have Pastor James David Manning, who held the trial, which produced the guilty verdict. It's actually it's a constitutional case.
Wow.
Okay. There's another one who's saying the same thing.
Yeah,
I
have to admire him tremendously for what he's done and what he said, standing up for the truth. I'll cover the back of any man that stands up for the truth like I do. I'll watch that back of that person and make sure nobody sneaks up on him from the back, because you got to respect and admire everybody that upholds the truth, Don. It takes a lot of courage today. And you know that, and everybody listening knows that. And so it's very admirable. And that's why we despise these dirtbags, because they're nothing but dishonorable, soulless beings.
Mm-hmm.
With no conscience at all about anything except their own little personal selfish selves.
Yeah.
And it's a short run for all of them. And that's what amazes me. They are very stupid. They think they're living forever here. They think they're going to be president forever, or senator, or congressman forever, and that all the sucking up that they get as they get wealthy by betraying the American people and breaking their oaths daily is going to never haunt them eventually and catch up to them.
They don't
that
have
God isn't watching.
They don't have enough lampposts to hang them from, to use George Bush's words. Scherf. George Scherf, excuse me.
Yeah, we got plenty of tree limbs to hang them all from, plenty.
Yeah. Maybe we can hang them, figure a way to hang them from the roots. That's a thought. That's a mind puzzle there.
I know this sounds extreme, Don. I don't know if I ever mentioned it on your show before. I probably have. It's very extreme to many. And you know, I am a strict vegetarian. I don't harm anything. I mean, people, my friends, sometimes when they see how extreme I am, where I save insects from in pools or whatever, I mean, I'm chopping wood. I'll save an ant. I'll injure myself before I hurt the ant because all of a sudden I see it in the way. And I will hang these dirt bags without blinking an eye, and I'll chop their heads off, Don, and I'll stick them on poles in front of our nation's capital. And those heads will stay on those poles as long as the sun shines on the United States of America. And there will be a sign behind all those heads on those stakes saying traitors and greedy SOBs. And this is what happens to every single one of them. So beware everybody coming in to replace these dirtbags, because this could be you next if you do what they did to our country and the American people. That's what I would do without batting an eye. I just wish the good Lord would give me the authority to do it.
Well, I think in a way they're going to do it to themselves. They are doing it.
Mm-hmm. They always do themselves, and sure. Look, I mean, when I was just watching Slick Willie the other day with his BS, and I'm looking at a man who doesn't have much time left. The angel of death is stalking him. I give him maybe 2-3 more years at the most. He's done. And then for eternity, he'll be roasting in hell until the good Lord gives him an opportunity to try to redeem his soul before it's totally erased from the book of life. And they will get a chance again to prove their worthiness before their creator, that they have something worth saving. And, but boy, that's a tough hole to climb out of, because they've all dug such deep holes. Their debts to God and his creation are so extensive that they may never be able to pay him back. Their burdens are so great. And therefore, in that respect, I feel sorry for these losers, because in the long scheme of eternity, it doesn't look good that they're going to make it. Like the Lord said, fear not what causes the first death. Rather fear what causes this. Rather fear the second death. Or that's what it was. Fear not the first death, but rather fear the second death. You see, the first death, we don't die. Just the body dies. But the second death, that's when we are erased from the book of life. We don't exist anymore at all. Just fathom that thought for a little while, and you'll see how scary it is to realize that someday I may never exist where all my memories of everything I've done and me, it's gone. I won't exist. It's unfathomable and scary. And that's the second death that these dirtbags are all going to have to contend with.
It's as scary as Guam tipping over and capsizing, isn't it? Oh, Michael.
Even scarier, Don. Even scarier than that.
We're out of time. I want to thank you for your input and insight on tonight's show. And we didn't plan anything, but you're the type of guest, you can talk about a lot of different things. I know that there were a lot of people suffering from what's going on in the Gulf, health-wise. And we still have your Michael Anthony's private stock posted on my sponsors page. If anyone is interested in any of your products, what would you recommend people that are being exposed to all this stuff? What can they do?
Most definitely the system toner to help neutralize toxins. If anyone's dealing with breathing problems due to toxic gases exposure, then the lung formula and my dragon juice, just for the extra power and strength to the body for any kind of debilitating kind of effects that anyone's experiencing as well. Those would be the items to focus on right away. And if anybody needs it and they're in a tough spot, just let me know. I mean, I'm very sympathetic, and I'll do my best to help anybody in any way I can. That's for sure, Don.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that, and we'll maybe be able to talk about some of that stuff on your next visit this coming month.
That'd be great, yes.
All right, so I'm going to say goodnight to you, Michael, and let the listening audience know you'll be with us sometime in July. The schedule's not together yet, but we'll be announcing that as usual. So,
Thank you, Dan. I'll look forward to it as always.
You
pleasure.
Have a great night or morning, whatever you prefer, and And I'll talk to you next time. Folks, that wraps it up.
God bless.
You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. Also, we'd like to thank Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world and blogtalkradio.com for broadcasting the show. Special thanks to Don Newsom on the sound tonight at BBS Radio. Also, I want to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. And most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be Dr. Michael Castle. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.